Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Welcome back. If you'd like to join the conversation, dial 904-831-0917. There's still a lot going on in this world. We were discussing just a moment ago about the ball game, the Block Pro-Life ad, the coronavirus, and the chaos going on with that. Groundhog Day, and I'm pretty sure election this year, election November 3rd, will be Groundhog Day for a lot of those folks remembering 2016 and the election. We'll discuss all these things and much more. Feel free to join the conversation. It's interesting on the coronavirus. You have folks, you had a whole line of bureaucrats lined up, all of them wearing masks, talking about the coronavirus even this morning or in the early a.m. hours, and all of them concerned about this. And of course, they act like being government bureaucrats that they'll be able to stop this virus. Now, I got news for you. Government can't stop this virus. They may be able to slow things down and hopefully, you know, muddle their way through it, but they can't stop the virus. And they can't stop global warming. I don't care how much they say, hey, if we tax you a little more, we can change the temperature by half a degree over the next 100 years. It's absurd. It's chaos. And don't let them on the global warming. I love that conversation. Anybody wants to call in and join the conversation and talk about global warming, let's do it. They like to hit the global climate change thing. You're a climate denier. No, I'm not a climate denier. My goodness, I know there's climate, and I know climate changes, and it's always changed. It's never been static. If you can point to me one time in all of human history that climate has been static, you win, okay, but climate is not static. But these folks, these bureaucrats are always the one saying they can fix the thing. And I got news for you. Trillions of dollars in taxes will not change the temperature here on Earth. But, you know, what's next? Here we've got the Iowa caucuses coming up. Anybody have a clue as to what's going to happen there? They're going to start playing that game of musical chairs. It's got to be funny. They're going to play that game of musical chairs. And any way you cut it, when the music stops, a socialist will be seated. A socialist will have that last. You know why I say that? You watch every debate that they've had, and I hate to beat up on Democrats. You know, I've gotten to the point in my life, at my young age of 50 years, I do not trust about 99% of Democrats, and I don't trust about 75% of Republicans. I think many of them, they do a disservice to their God, and they do a disservice to the Constitution to which they swear. However, you know, on the left, these leftist, communist, socialist Democrats, every single one of them on that stage has raised a hand and said they want open borders, raised a hand, they want health care paid for by the taxpayer for everybody, raised it. I mean, it's absurd. And they, each one tries to one-up the next by how much they can give away. So the Iowa caucuses will not be a surprise. The person that walks away, and I think just between me and you, I think it's going to be Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders walks away. That man's never had a real job in his life. But Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, they're carrying, you know, by the polls, they're carrying nearly 40% of the party. It's going to be very interesting, too, because the setup has already begun. Bernie Sanders is going to be hot as a firecracker. He is going to be a mad man if he doesn't get the nomination, because he knows he was cheated out of it in 2016. All of the setup, all of the fiasco, all of the undermining and the backroom dealing that went on, he expected to, rightly, I think, be the nominee. Well, this sets up for an interesting thing. Let's say he's the nominee. You fast forward to November 3 of 2020. Will never Trumpers still be never Trump on November 3rd, up against a known, avowed socialist that has communist ideology all the way to his bones? Will they still be never Trumpers? I tell you what, it's going to be interesting. It's going to get interesting real fast. And we have a State of the Union tomorrow night. That's going to be fun. They've tried to hold off this impeachment vote until Wednesday. Why'd they do that? Because they did not want the showboating, bragging Donald Trump to be able to go and take the stage tomorrow night in front of the Congress and brag on the exoneration. They didn't want that. So literally the deals were cut, the die was cast, and the vote won't come until Wednesday. And between now and Wednesday, all sorts of chaos will take place. I mean, Blasey Ford may show up and say that Donald Trump, you know, assaulted her too. It wasn't just Kavanaugh. The Kavanaugh hearings turned into a fiasco because they just said, well, everybody that claims they're a whistleblower, everybody that claims they're a victim, you know, step forward in the middle of this hearing. Let's see whether or not we can stir the pot and create some more haters among the electorate. The State of the Union is going to be really fun, even in the absence of the exoneration vote. I think folks are going to sit around and do the drinking game. By the way, I am a teetotaler. I haven't had a sip of alcohol in my life, but I think I'm going to do the drinking game this year, and I could play this drinking game with my mother, all right? We'll each have a cup of coffee every single time. Good news is given, but the Democrats refuse to stand, refuse to clap, refuse to cheer, because last year we saw that. And all the good news rolled out and over and over and over because Donald Trump is the one speaking. Donald Trump's the one that's the president of the United States. We can't cheer. We can't support, even though, you know, unemployment's the lowest it's ever been, even though jobs are through the roof, even though you can't support that because, doggone it, that would actually be good for the president. We have a caller. Put the caller on the line. What's your comment? What's your question?
Yes, good day, Greg. It's a pleasure. I'm very pleased for what you're doing and for the others of you those who are trying to sound the alarm. I am very concerned about where our country is going. And one thing that I think about when I hear a lot of people talk, that what the hatred and the fight that Donald Trump is getting. So some people still seem to think that Donald Trump is personally hated, and you know he's getting all these things because of who he is and so on. But that really get to me when I hear it, because the fact is that the fight he's getting is all because of what he's doing. God has raised him up for the purpose that no one else, we couldn't select a person to fit in to do what he is doing. God raised him up specially to do the things he's doing at this time in answer to prayer, I believe.
Yes.
And his courage he's doing. And because of the dismantling the agenda, because of what they are so committed to taking America over the precipice, where I'm concerned, I said that we're on the edge after the last administration, and if God had not intervened, then the one world government that they're pushing towards, which we know ties right into Revelation, would be well on its way, because America is the one real interest now to get America.
You are so very right. Thank you for your call. The reality is the hatred and the animosity is stirred up because the power brokers are no longer completely in control. I think this is a godsend. I still rest on God's sovereignty in the midst of this. We as Christians must get out and vote. We must participate. You know, as you go tell, if you look back at Ezekiel 33, it talks about the watchman on the wall, and that watchman's supposed to sound the alarm when they see danger coming. You know, we as believers, we can take that as a message. Whether we see things that are evil down the pike politically, if we see things that are evil down the pike business-wise, if we see things that are evil, the ultimate evil being death and hell and damnation, we ought to be the ones that are warning. Matter of fact, if you are a believer, if you are not warning, you're disobeying the Great Commission. If you're a believer and you're not warning, there's blood on your hands. If we look at that text, if they did not, if the watchman did not sound the alarm, give the warning, then the blood of folks that died happened to be on the watchman's hand. But if they give the warning and it's not heeded, well, the blood is on their own hands, the ones that did not heed the warning. So as a believer, I think that's a challenge for every single one of us, is to be a watchman on the wall. And one of my favorite quotes is from Daniel Webster. He was tagged as the defender of the Constitution, and he said, God grants liberty only to those who love it and are always ready to guard and defend it. So really, the believer, the Christian, ought to be involved And this respite the Lord's blessed us with, I hope that it can continue. I know that eventually it will not. Now, we don't see a record of the United States in the eschatological text we find in the Scripture. That being the case, I do not think that America will be around as we currently are at the time of Christ's return and, of course, the tribulation period. But in any case, I was getting to the drinking game and the State of the Union, and I'll probably do that coffee drinking game. Of course, if we drink a cup of coffee every time the Democrats refuse to stand or applaud at good news, you know, by the end of the evening, we'll have so much caffeine in our system, we may not be able to go to sleep for a week or two. So I challenge you. That may not be the best approach. It may be my game, but maybe not your game. On the impeachment stuff, what a fiasco. If any of you saw it, it was hilarious for closing remarks. Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff were kind of racing to get to the podium. Jerry beat Schiff. So little Nadler stepped up to the podium while Adam Schiff was over there going, Jerry, Jerry, Jerry. He didn't want him to get to the podium before him. So that was comical. But that was, you know, just about the only comedy I got out of that entire thing is as you watch the hearings in the Judiciary Committee, and then as it rolled to the full House, and then rolled from the full House over to the Senate, you had Intelligence and then Judiciary. The cry kept being, "We've got to have witnesses. We've got to have evidence. We've got to have witnesses. If we don't have witnesses and we don't have evidence, it's not a real trial." And you go, "How many people are y'all fooling with that? How many people watch CNN and MSNBC all the time? They bought that line. I mean, how many times did Cuomo on what is he on CNN or MSNBC? Oh, he kept ranting and raving about no witnesses, no evidence. You know, it can't be a trial this way." And you go, oh, they called 17 witnesses, I believe. They had tens of thousands of documents. Matter of fact, you see Nadler, I think, at one point in time with the cart with all the stacked up documents they had. Man, they had a slam dunk case. That was the pronouncement coming out of the House. This is a slam dunk case. You know when they decided they needed more witnesses? When they realized this isn't really a slam dunk case. All they had was a boatload of hearsay. Matter of fact, all of those witnesses, one after another, were either not witnesses to anything, or they were hearsay witnesses, or the one, Sondland, he was a firsthand witness. And when he was put to it, you know, well, what did the president say? Well, no quid pro quo. I don't want anything. You know, just tell them to do what's right. My goodness, folks. Now, the whole fiasco should never have been. The phone call transcript was released. Adam Schiff never expected that. The whistleblower, Eric Sia, we can't talk about that name, can we? There are stories right now out there, just keyword search this, lots of fun. There are folks saying that Eric fella, that's not the whistleblower, and by the way, Adam Schiff doesn't know him, even though Adam Schiff doesn't know him, and he's not the whistleblower, sounds like he might be dating Adam Schiff's daughter. I don't know. I don't know if this is true. You can call and tell me, hey, you're wrong on this. I'm not saying he is, but there are stories out there saying that this fella, Eric, I'm not going to say his name, can't say his name, because we're still guessing right now. Adam Schiff doesn't even know who he is, so how in the world would I know? How in the world did Chief Justice Roberts know who he was? I mean, when Rand Paul puts the question forward, he never says anything about a whistleblower, but he has a couple names mentioned in this communication these folks had back in 2017 about getting rid of this president. How in the world did Justice Roberts know that name on that little card was the whistleblower if nobody knows who the whistleblower is? These things are – I can't wrap my mind around it. It's funny. But the entire impeachment fiasco was very much like the Kavanaugh hearing, and it was very much like the Mueller witch hunt where they employed 16, 17, 18, 19 Trump-hating attorneys to pursue Trump every which way for over 2 years at a cost of around $40 million. Over 2 million documents were produced, hundreds of witnesses. And what did it come up? How did it turn out? No collusion. But literally, you have today, you ask Nancy Pelosi, you ask Adam Schiff, you ask Jerry Nadler, they are still trying to make this entire thing, even the phone call with the Ukrainian president, they still want to make it about Russian collusion. Folks, I have news for you. Russian collusion, that was something maybe the other side was involved in. Yeah, $145 million, I understand, rolled into the Clinton Trust and Clinton Initiative accounts while Hillary was Secretary of State. Some other Russian collusion. What, I think Hillary and her campaign and the DNC, and now apparently perhaps Barack Obama's campaign, all sending money to Fusion GPS, who funded Steele, by the way, a foreigner. He was English, right? MI6 fellow, former MI6, a spook. So funded a foreigner to get information from other foreigners. Is that foreign interference in our election? They got a bunch of Russian propaganda, paid millions of dollars for it, and then used it to try to affect the outcome of an election. Oh my goodness, this all makes sense now. The entire impeachment trial was about trying to color Donald Trump with the exact nefarious activities that they were guilty of. Oh goodness, why is Romney voting for witnesses? Oh, Romney, deep down inside, I believe that man prays that Trump gets impeached. Now, Romney doesn't want his fingerprints on it necessarily, but he prays that that man gets impeached. Apparently, according to American Thinker, in an article all the way back in September of last year, they pointed out the connections to Mitt Romney and Burisma. Oh my, no, he doesn't want Burisma looked into. He doesn't want, you know, crazy, you know, 030330 Joe or quid pro quo Joe. He doesn't want him looked into. He doesn't want Hunter Biden looked into. Because if you look into these folks, you're probably going to run up right on this fellow that was advisor to Mitt Romney during his 2011 presidential campaign. A fellow named Joseph Coffer Black. You know, you'll see him on as Coffer Black on some of these forums and such. This guy, he's a spook, and he ended up just a few years ago on the board of directors for Burisma. I don't know if he was pulling down $83K a month. You know, Hunter Biden, they said, was making $50K a month plus extraneous dollar amounts. The tallies that I've seen are $83,333 a month times 12. You see it's $1 million and another $83,333 a month going to this business partnership. The business partnership, oh my goodness, John Kerry's stepson was involved in this. Oh my. We're hearing about John Kerry maybe running for president. I wonder why. Now, this morning, I think he denies all the claims that came out yesterday, but John Kerry may get into the Democratic primary. What if he just dabbles his toe in it a little bit? Does that allow him to be insulated? Because right now, we're not supposed to investigate Hunter Biden, because Hunter Biden is connected to Joe Biden. You know, your hip bone's connected to your leg bone. Well, Hunter Biden's connected to Joe Biden, and Joe Biden is running for president. Yeah, this, you know, for the past 8 months, we've been told, well, Trump went after Hunter Biden because he was scared of Joe Biden. That's why this entire thing happened. It's not about the corruption. My goodness, I believe everybody in D.C., they've got a lot of them running around with their pants on fire right now. They are liars, and of course they're scared to death that a real investigation will take place, and it'll expose the dirty deeds that go back for many of them for years. Why does it seem like these folks pull down $176,000 a year salary, tons of them, but they're worth $60 or $80 or $100 million? I mean, you got folks like Mitt Romney that he was Bain Capital guy, lots of money there, but a lot of guys that never had a job in the private sector, and they're worth a filthy fortune. Until you start digging in and you realize this Burisma thing is the tip of the iceberg. One after another is involved in some sort of a scandalous relationship, many times with nefarious folks from overseas. Peter Schweitzer's book, The Secret Empires, and I think he has another one coming out now. I mean, it delves into this. And these folks that take your tax dollars to buy favor with these oligarchs and corrupt politicians and governments. I mean, Joe Biden, I'm not going to give you the $1 billion, Joe Biden. You got to shut down this investigation. You got to fire the prosecutor. You got to shut down the investigation. You know, that kind of thing. But they take it a step further. It's not just shut down the investigation. You know, we'll put you on my board or have you send money over. We're going to start a not-for-profit. You can contribute to my charitable trust. Northeast Florida saw that a little bit with our former representative, right? I say our. Again, this broadcast is coming to you from the southern tip of heaven, the mountains of East Tennessee. But I tell you, I spent 31 years in Northeast Florida, and I watched Corrine Brown. Yeah, sadly, that stuff, I think she learned it. What the corruption that she was that was alleged and she was finally found guilty of, I think she learned it from folks like Hillary Clinton. She figured if I create an organization over here, maybe it won't be construed as criminal. I'm not taking any money directly, not firsthand, not one. You know, maybe that's what she thought. Hillary Clinton is a smart attorney, at least smart enough to create a straw fund. And then, of course, her daughter, you know, picks up a job, I think, right out of college, pulling $600,000 or $900,000 a year. And now she's stacked up millions of dollars in stock options on a board of directors. Can't name all the names for you right here. It'd take too long. But grab Peter Schweitzer's book. This is not a commercial for Peter Schweitzer, but he's done a fantastic job. He explores $145 million from Russians to the Clinton Initiative. And I'm sure that was all legit, right? Wink, wink, nod, nod. Was that all legit? $145 million? Interestingly, when she was no longer Secretary of State, and when she didn't win the nomination, and when she didn't become president, all those contributions to the Clinton Initiative, the Clinton Trust, they dried up. I mean, overnight, the money disappeared. Why is that? Oh, what a coinkydink, right? What a coinkydink. When you start down the rabbit hole with Mitt Romney and his former advisor, the coffer black fella, some coinkydinks there too. You know, he was working with the CIA, and his work with the CIA and foreign dealt with foreign policy strategy, defense issues, intelligence matters, counterterrorism, and regional policy. This guy was right hand man to Mitt Romney for some time. I'm sure the relationship goes on today. But Black, when he left the CIA, here's a little coinkydink for you. When he left the CIA as director of the National Counterterrorism Center, you know who followed him? You know who filled that spot? John Brennan. Let's back up in time, folks. When Donald Trump started calling out the intelligence agencies, you had Chuck Schumer open his mouth. He says, you don't want to mess with them. They got seven ways to Sunday to get you back. And guess what? Little Chucky Schumer, he was right. If you step back in time, I want you to know this. In 2016, the employees of the Department of Justice that made political contributions, in 2016, 97% of the dollars went to Hillary Clinton. 97. They fully expected not only was she going to win, but all of this stuff would still be undercover. It would be buried in those intelligence agencies. It would be buried. When you get to the Department of State, 99% of contributions. Those are still swamp-run organizations. Now, we as believers, we ought to be able to call the truth out. Call things as they are. Speak the truth in love. We ought to warn folks. The reason all these things are important from my perspective is if we fast forward to the election, November 3rd, and this dirty up job that they've done for the past 3 years on Donald Trump, if it works, if we end up with a Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, or any of the other communist, socialist, liberal, leftist Democrats in office, I think that's the end. That is the end game. And we've watched the movie, The End Game. Yeah, that's when they snap their fingers, okay? Except for when they snap their fingers, they fully expect they're going to wipe out most conservatives and Christians and decent people in this country. But back to Black and the connection with Romney and the connection with the CIA. So he leaves his position with the CIA and John Brennan comes in. John Brennan, there's no love lost between him and Donald Trump. I think a lot of folks, and if it's Comey, Clapper, Brennan, I think they're all in this. They're all in this. And we've got a lot of documentation to point that direction. But it's interesting, as you follow Black, he leaves the CIA. And where does he go? He goes on the board of Burisma in 2017. I wonder how much was he paid? I wonder how many other connections do politicians in D.C. have to Burisma and other companies just like Burisma? Have we been sold out? I think we have. I know we have. I think on our southern border, those people that push for open border policies, you're going to find they fit in one or two camps. They're a rhino Republican that want the cheap labor to flow across the border, or they're a totalitarian leftist Democrat, and that what they really want is for those voters to come across the border. Now, I said that for years, and I thought, you know, this makes sense. You know, they want those voters to come across the border. Well, people say, well, they're not voting. Yes, they are, and yes, they will. State by state, they're giving driver's licenses to illegal aliens. Driver's licenses through the motor voter plan, and state by state, automatically, tons of folks are being offered their voter ID cards. And some jurisdictions have voted to allow illegal aliens illegally in this country to vote. We know what the drive is, what the push is, and they would like to legalize, you know, legalize all the DACA first and then this and that and the other. But the reality is they want those voters. And here's the further evidence I proffer today. Pew Research indicates that illegal aliens in this country today prefer, or they identify as Democrats, 8-1 over Republicans. 31.5% of illegal aliens, according to Pew Research, identify as Democrats. How many identify as Republicans? 4%. That's why you have folks like Bernie Sanders. Well, what's his face that already dropped out of the campaign? That former senatorial candidate in Texas, Beto, Robert Francis. Wait, these folks, it's amazing. They can't tell the truth no matter what. They'd rather climb a tree and tell you the lie than stand on their own 2 feet and tell you the truth. So Robert Francis, Beto, or O'Rourke said he would tear down the wall. I think it was over the weekend that Bernie Sanders said he would tear down the wall. Why is that? Why is it that they want this open flow across the border? They obviously have no concern for jobs in America. They obviously have no concern for potential terrorist acts. We have folks from all over the world that we've caught at that border. What they do care about is power. Power. When you have a power-thirsty personality that's never held a real job in their life, like Bernie Sanders, what's going to happen? If you have Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, I kind of like that Pocahontas thing. Here she is. She talks about she wants a government agency and a law to back it up to start censoring things on the news to make sure you don't get fake news. Make sure that what you get is real stuff, the genuine article. Thank you, Pocahontas. I appreciate your concern for us. You know, thank you, Miss. I never benefited from this in any job except for maybe the Harvard job that paid really, really good. That Harvard gig was all right. But she's concerned about truth. I'll tell you what, we as believers, all these things get me stirred, and I'm concerned about the possibility of a socialist communist entering office in the presidency. I'm concerned about the long-term viability of this country, but none of these things should really stir us too much as Christians. Realize that we have a charge from Jesus Christ to go into all the world, and in that same text, he says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." So fear not. Walk with Jesus. Share the Lord today. I appreciate the time with you. I look forward to hearing from you, seeing you again, hearing from you, talking with you. That's it. I'll talk with you again tomorrow, same time, 11:30. Thank you so much.
To Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.